We've got some celebrating to do as Albertans. You know, we talk a lot about the province that Albertans have built. We talk a lot about our history, the ingenuity that's been on display, the innovation that has occurred right here in Alberta from a grassroots level, as evidenced by the province and what we see ahead of us, but also this great nation and beyond. The talent coming out of Alberta, we know, is recognized around the world, and that includes our engineers and our geoscientists. You know, they're self-regulated by the Association of Professional Engineers and Geoscientists of Alberta, otherwise known and well known as APEGA. And in 2020, this year, APEGA is celebrating a century of serving the public interest. APEGA's centennial celebration, a century well-built. And we celebrate along with them. It's a real pleasure to welcome to the studio Jay Nagendran, who's the registrar and CEO for APEGA. Jay, it's great to see you here at 630 CHED. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Ryan. Very good to be here.
And Nancy Biamonte, who's the Chief Membership Services Officer and Director of Communications for APEGA. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ryan.
Jay, when we take a look at 100 years, the past 100 years, I suppose it probably makes sense to start off with this angle of self-regulation. For those that aren't familiar, what does it mean and why is it significant?
So, Ryan, it is a way of regulating the profession by the professionals. It's a commitment to the profession to make sure that it is safe and secure for Albertans. It's all about public safety. And in 1920, 106 engineers with two geologists at that time, two female geologists at that time, came together to create APEGA. So we are the first engineering regulator in the country.
The first in the country.
Yes.
What was it about Alberta in 1920 that sort of begged for the formation of APEGA?
I believe reading through some of the history, there were issues with certain safety features and engineering construction and so forth, where these knowledgeable folks came together and said, we need to do something to look after our environment and our people and our country. So that's how it started. And Ontario came a month later, and they too incorporated shortly after.
I don't know why. It just always feels so good to know we're the first in the country to do something, doesn't it? Nancy, I guess it probably, when you're talking about professions where the general public needs to have a real confidence, you'd be talking about surgeons, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd be talking about engineers. I mean, these are the people that are, you know, designing buildings, bridges. I mean, pretty incredibly important to have the public trust.
Absolutely. And we're one of those organizations that you shouldn't have to think about every day. You should just be able to trust and build on that trust and know that as a regulator, we're ensuring that their safety is job one. And the pride that the engineers and geoscientists have in the work that they do is reflected in that.
So, Jay, when we look back on the 100 years that have led to this mile marker, and of course we'll look ahead as well, what are some of the really key moments along the way that you're focusing on as CEO? In other words, which parts of this 100 years worth of history are you most especially recognizing or celebrating?
Thanks, Ryan. I think we started as an agricultural province. In fact, Lethbridge is the irrigation capital of Canada. We have $5 billion worth of irrigation infrastructure, reservoirs, dams, and so on. From there, as we started to realize that Alberta is blessed with an abundance of natural resources, oil and gas, oil sands later on, there was a need. We became more and more industrialized, and there was a need for innovation, creativity. Those challenged the good fortune also created tremendous challenges. And the engineers and geoscientists of Alberta recognized that we needed to work in teams. We worked with First Nations, with technologists, biologists, environmentalists, and realized that everybody contributes to it. And even though the public thinks of bridges and buildings and roads as engineering, when you look at the industrial advances in this province over these 100 years, it's incredible. And the government was a big part of all of this. For example, Alberta was also the first province in 1971 to create a Department of the Environment, knowing our industrial boom. So that was creative. We created the first fully integrated hazardous waste management plant in Swan Hills, and I think it's still the only fully integrated hazardous waste facility in Canada. And so on. We went from two pulp mills in the 80s to seven pulp mills, and they were designed to be amongst the best in the world. And again, it was industry, government coming together to do things like that. Premier Stelmach announced a $2 billion carbon capture and storage, which was a huge amount at that time, committing to looking after the environment and the people while becoming an industrial superpower.
We're going to fit in a quick break here. When we come back, I'm curious to ask the both of you about how the science, geoscience, and how the skill of engineering is evolving, and how industry trends and economic trends impact not only the industry as it stands, but also recruitment efforts. What will the engineers and geoscientists of tomorrow be working on? What sort of interest level is there from young learners, and what's inspiring them to get into the field? We'll be back in a moment as we mark APEGA's centennial celebration right here in 2020. The Association of Professional Engineers and Geoscientists of Alberta celebrating a centennial, a century well-built, so says APEGA's celebrations. We've got the CEO of APEGA, Jay Nagendran, with me in studio alongside Nancy Biamonte, Director of Communications. You just blew my mind in the commercial break, Jay. I knew that APEGA had a robust membership base. I had no idea. 72,000 Albertans are members.
And in fact, Ryan, we are the largest self-regulating professional investor in Canada. We are very proud of our heritage, of our members, of how we have strived to protect the public. Public protection is job one, and we recognize that. And as members, as a self-regulating profession, we know that our members need to keep up with their continuous professional development, submit that to us every year. We review, we do practice reviews on our permit holders. We have 4,700 almost permit holders in the province. And so it's a pretty robust activity. Not only that, Ryan, we also try to connect with K to 12 with universities, and both our engineering universities in Alberta, UFC and UFA, are massive in terms of engineering and geoscience and the innovations that go on there.
Let's talk about that. Because, Nancy, I know, I mean, you know, you can always learn a lot about an industry based on what enrollment looks like in certain faculties at universities and trade schools. What is it that's drawing young people, like Jay referenced, let's say grade 8, 9 to 12, what's drawing them into the fields of geoscience and engineering right now? Those that are dreaming big and wondering what a future or a career might look like.
I think a lot of that is driven by their imaginations. I mean, the things that kids are dreaming up now, they're not fanciful. They're not science fiction anymore. They're reality. We've actually launched a series of videos that we worked on with Sticks and Stones, and it's asking kids, what does the future look like? And their imaginations just run wild. And then we have an engineer, a geoscientist, responding and commenting on the ideas that the children are coming up with. And like I said, they're not science fiction anymore. They're part of the research and the work that the engineers and the geoscientists are actually doing today.
So, Jay, as industry evolves, and we talk about the evolution in Alberta and Canada of, say, for example, a slow weaning off fossil fuels. I don't think anybody's talking about the next 10 years, but let's say over the next 50 or 60. Let me just say anecdotally that it's been a real honor for me to host the APEGA Awards in past, and the light bulb moments that I've had, the realizations I've had, is how diverse the field is and how broad the areas of expertise are. In other words, the contributions to the oil and gas industry have been magnificent and significant, but there's also so much more. How is the industry evolving?
So when you think of the young students and how engineering and geoscience is broadening and growing Ryan, things like artificial intelligence, the digital world, the nanotechnology, robotics, these are taking on a whole life of their own. And as you can imagine, young university engineering and geoscience students get very excited about these things. And when I walk through the University of Alberta and University of Calgary, I almost feel like it would have been nice to have been a student at this time in my life than many decades ago. So there's a lot of excitement. There's a recognition that fossil fuels, while, as you said, over half a century or more might decline, there's still a current need, because with 9 billion people and growing, we can't wean ourselves overnight.
The need is huge.
The need is huge. The question is doing it responsibly and in a systematic way. And this is where the partnership between people like APEGA, the government, the First Nations, the public, it's vital. No one group can do it alone. It has to be a collective effort.
What would you identify as perhaps the biggest challenge facing the association or engineers and geoscientists over the next, I mean, I want to say over the next century, but that's a little bit of an unfair window to ask you to comment on. But looking forward, what have you identified as a challenge?
I think the challenge, Ryan, is to keep up with technology, to keep growing, to be innovative, never to become stagnant and complacent. Because as you look back the 100 years and how far we have come, we should assume that the next 100 years would be unimaginable to us sitting here today. So I think it's to have that open mind, to be constantly innovating and to be constantly creative, and also to have diversity. Historically, APEGA has had far more men in the field than females. And we are putting a great effort and push to make it more diverse and entice more women to go into the profession. And I think that diversity will also create much more innovation.
Nancy, we hear a lot about that, about attracting or recruiting more girls to have interest in the STEM careers, with science, tech, and math, and what's E? Is the engineering? Is it the engineering and
yes.
math? So what are some steps that APEGA's taken, or what's the message? I mean, you'll have an audience right now tuned in. You know, what's the message?
You know, the message isn't what it was 10 or 20 years ago. I think the message right now is what they're telling us. Girls at a young age are no longer feeling intimidated by math or science. The stereotypes, I think, are becoming more and more blurred. But the fact is that we've had to push that really hard in past years. And so being able to continue support for elementary and junior high and high school kids, so that they're not making a distinction between what girls do and what boys do. It's just, what is everybody doing together to advance the STEM?
Love it. Well, congratulations on 100 years.
Thank you.
I should acknowledge neither of you were here when it all got started. But you can celebrate the centennial and certainly look ahead with great optimism. The APEGA Awards coming up a little bit later on this spring, and I know that's always a highlight of the calendar year. Thanks for being here with us.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Privileged to be here.
Chet Nation, if you want to learn more about what this self-regulating body is doing and celebrate some of its successes, I guarantee you, you click around here, you'll be absolutely blown away by some of the highlighted projects and initiatives. APEGA.ca, that's APEGA.ca, the Association of Professional Engineers and Geoscientists of Alberta.